Welcome to Give Theory a Chance. In this episode, we are joined by Ugo Korte, professor of sociology at the University of Stavanger, Norway, and author of Dangerous Fun, The Social Lives of Big Wave Surfers, which came out in 2022 and was published by the University of Chicago Press. Ugo introduces us to the work of Gary Allen Fine and discusses Fine's importance as a scholar, theorist, and methodologist. Ugo discusses the influence of Fine as well as a plethora of other theorists on his own research on risky group activities. Hi, Ugo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Kyle. Thank you for having me.
So we are here today to talk about Gary Allen Fine. And I'm wondering if you could give us just a short introduction to who he is or even what he's known for.
In the last few months, we have lost two of the living giants of symbolic interaction, two of the major writers within this perspective, Howie Becker, whose work is much more traditional, and Norman Denzin, whose work is more phenomenological. Of the seniors who are still writing in the symbolic interaction tradition, Gary Allen Fine is the only one who is left. Fine's approach is about trying to find the lane in which symbolic interaction is integrated into sociology proper. Another person, another scholar who could fit is Evyatar Zerubbabel, but his work is much more tied to Zimmel. And there are similarities, I think, between these two theorists. What Fine tries to do, differently than many sociologists, is to focus on the meso level and how culture, when we look at it not as personal and not as institutional, but as group-based, provides us with a way to look at social life that is distinctive. And that is his orientation. There are four streams of his research. Stream one, it's focused on group culture, on the meso-level interaction. And that is his ethnographic work. Stream two is thinking about how reputations get formed and how reputations are meaningful. And again, he will often bring in groups like his concept of reputational entrepreneurs. Area three is the study of rumor, collective behavior, and contemporary legends. And that again connects to groups, but it is somewhat different. And area four kind of combines them, and that is a meso level, a theory of for symbolic interaction, to take symbolic interaction and find the linkages with more mainstream sociology. Here, we find his idea of the hinge, which is an attempt to provide the connection between micro and macro through this meso level analysis. In this perspective, if you allow me to quote him, he writes, "The group is a semi-autonomous link between micro and macro, the individual and institutions." And of course, I shouldn't forget his work on theory building, theory construction, and methodology as well. Now, I don't know, Kyle, if I'm allowed to use profanity in your podcast.
Of course, of course. Anything that's useful.
All right, that's great.
I mean, I don't think there's any children who listen to this. I'd love if there's a 10-year-old who gets into social theory at such a young age, but I don't think it's likely.
Are you familiar with a website called Sociology Such Rumors?
Yes, unfortunately I am.
Okay, there is a thread there about Gary Allen Fine. And I think that one person posted this message, which to me is the shortest and maybe best introduction to Gary Allen Fine's work. So let me quote. "So appropriate, Fine's initials are also the internet acronym for give a fuck, because it certainly makes you guff about studies you never intended to."
Yeah, that is good. And it's interesting, you mentioned how he's, in a sense, the last living giant of this area. And right before we started our call, I looked at Google Scholar, and he's been cited over 33,000 times, which is kind of, I mean, it's really astounding for a social scientist. You just don't see those type of numbers very often. And then the other thing I noticed, which is also really astonishing, is that he hasn't really slowed down very much. So I just looked, and in 2023, I think he had 9 publications. So even now he continues to publish at this incredibly high speed. So it's not only showing that he's teaching other people to be excited about phenomena that he wasn't, that you might not be otherwise, but he continues to have that curiosity and excitement, which is really, really impressive.
Well, I think that you might say then that as the late Doug Mitchell, acquiring editor of University of Chicago Press, and Howard Becker, Gary Allan Fine is sui generis without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a few years ago, this was 2013, Fiennes was the recipient of the Cooley Mead Award, which is given annually to a scholar who has made extraordinary career contributions to the field of sociological social psychology. In that essay, introduction essay, Tim Hallett quoted Minna Bromberg saying that Gary spits ink. And I love that metaphor because to me, having worked with him, it talks not just about his outstanding production, but about Gary as a writer, about someone who truly thinks through writing. And that is also someone who's not afraid of blasting words on paper to begin working on a tirelessly long process of editing. There's no such thing. I mean, putting the first draft is only the first step.
Yeah.
And, someone could easily look at his CV as you have done and notice that he has published over 400 articles, 14 ethnographies, and we could talk about that too. But, yeah. It is incredible. But if you will ask him what he's most proud of, I think that he will say that he's very proud of his collaborators. He has also published, co-authored with, I think, about 100 graduate students.
Wow.
And that is fantastic. Yes. Because yeah, he's a very generous scholar, but it's also the way that he learns, that he expands what he knows.
And there's a level of humbleness in doing that too. So it's not just generosity, but it's understanding that young scholars have insights and ideas that can push him to think in new ways, which is not always true of people who have established such a name.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So when did you first encounter his work? So you mentioned in passing that you have collaborated with Gary, which is amazing because it's very rare that we get to have a guest on the podcast who actually collaborate with the person that they're talking about. But I'm guessing you read his work before you actually ended up collaborating with him. So where did you discover Gary Allan Fine's work and what was that experience like?
At the time, and that is early 2000, I was in around actually 2007, I was in Greenville, North Carolina. And I was pursuing a second master in what I called North American sociology. I'm Italian. I've been trained in Scandinavia and Poland. Very different traditions, but still, even America has many different traditions of sociology. But you can say that American sociology is still quite different than European sociology, especially in some countries. Of course, we could get more into the conversation, more deeply into the conversation. I was doing a study of professional athletes, BMX riders, basically like skateboarding, but on little kids' bikes, in North Carolina, in Greenville. And different riders from different parts of the world relocated to this little town, and they progressed to the point where they became champions of the sport. My advisor at the time was Bob Edwards, a social movement scholar. And at one point, Bob suggested me, you should start to read Gary Allan Fine's work and start with this methodology piece because they will help you with your work. And because he also chooses to study sometimes topics that apparently may seem trivial, really, but he makes them interesting for general sociology, for a large readership, I think that would be someone you should connect with and read more of his work. And then I met him at the ASA in Montreal in 2009. And since then, we've been collaborated collaborating quite steadily.
What did you think of his actual writing?
Beautiful, metaphorical, precise, and at times he uses humor, I think. He's dry between the lines, dry, humorous, but it's very clear, very easy to understand. And I think that this, you see, Gary Allan Fine is unique or particular, if you will, in many ways. One is that he has published in several sub-areas in sociology, from sociology of social movements, subcultures, small groups, art. We could keep going for a while. But he has also... See, some people do, they say they do theory or they write about theory without really doing any kind of empirical work. But Gary does everything. I mean, he does work that is, at times it might seem highly descriptive, but it's not. It's actually analytical. And then he also has these pieces in which he explains how to go about doing research. So a few days ago, I was reading a very interesting piece written by Seth Abrutin.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, and he's been on the podcast a few times, actually. So, British Columbia.
And Professor Abrutin was thinking about different ways to teach theory and how difficult it is to teach theory at the undergraduate and graduate level. And he has some good suggestions. I think that using Gary Allan Fine work in the classroom could be useful, will be useful, because differently than other scholars, not only has contributed to several areas of sociology and other fields as well, like folklore, but he has written about how to theorize. He has written about methodology, often the two together. And he has also produced a large amount of empirical work, which is beautifully written, and it is theoretical, but he has his own view of doing theory, which I think it's could be useful.
Yeah, and I think it's incredibly useful because there's a way that undergraduates are taught that the reading of theory has to be difficult and not enjoyable, and sometimes we fall into the trap of saying, The great theorists we celebrate, it should be painful for you to engage with their ideas. So not only do they get to see Gary's work being more accessible in that way, but then they also get to see the ideas put into practice, which we also do not see with many of the great theorists that we assign.
Yes, but then of course there are exceptions. I mean, one of the most important theorists, contemporary theorists, is Randall Collins. And Randall Collins' work reads, it's a pleasure to read, even though it is complex, even though he gives us many ideas to work with for the next 30, 40, 50 years more.
So what drew you back to Gary's writing after those initial encounters? So you've talked about some of the beauty of the writing, some of the methodological significance. Were there certain things that drew you back to his work?
Well, I will say also the topics that he was dealing with, which the issues are reoccurring in his work. He often writes about play, humor, group dynamics, place, narration, but also power. So lots of very, very general topics, which anybody could be, if he's a sociologist, should be interested in. Also, I think that it's interesting that sociologists too often, in my opinion, neglect to focus on the pleasures of sociability. We generally seem to focus more on the trials and struggles, the problems and conflicts, and their power dynamics, and these yield us to have a dyspeptic view of the human. And I think that what we need is a sociology that recognizes the nasty and the nice, and how the two are often interrelated. And if you would want to have an example of what I'm talking about, you will look at two papers that I wrote with Gary Allan Fine, which are highly theoretical. The first one is called group pleasures, which is a theory of positive fun. And it was published in Sociological Theory in 2017. The second paper is a continuation of the first paper, and it's called Dark Fun, and it was published in Sociological Forum in 2019. And it theorizes on cruelty. So groups that have fun at the expense of someone else.
And it seems like the level of the analysis is so significant there, because you made a point before that Gary's work and then your work with him doesn't exist just at the level of the micro or at the level of macro, where a lot of the theorists we assign are, but rather understand the group as the unit of analysis.
Exactly, absolutely. Because the group tends to be forgotten in sociology. And of course, this depends on different times. Many years ago, it was very important in sociology to theorize about the group. Now, I think there's a new wave where the group is becoming more and more important, but it's not recognized as much yet. People tend to focus on institutions or on the individual. The group is kind of missed in some ways. But, you know, asking me again what drew me to his writing, it's that, you know, if you think about it, groups really shape who we are, how we behave, and what we believe. Our life is lived in groups. And this is not something that is unique of a Gary Allan Fine. Other people have written about this. Even Randall Collins has written about this. Groups are really important, and they can help us. They can provide us with a lens, with a sort of laboratory, if you will, to study issues that are much bigger. And in that sense, ethnography lends itself to the study of groups particularly well, but doesn't have to be the only approach. So Gary Allan Fine will write, the group is society writ small. You can look at the group and really discover many things. And you can discover things that are pertinent for your own life. I study groups of genius. I study collaboration and risk. I see these things at play if I'm having a committee meeting, if I teach my students. These are things that I think speak to all of us.
So this is a perfect chance to transition a little bit more into your own research. So we've talked about some of the significance of Gary's ideas, but how have you taken that into your own studies? And as you've mentioned, you've studied a number of different groups across your career. You've most recently published the book Dangerous Fun, The Social Life of Big Wave Surfers, which I recommend to anyone listening. Really enjoyable book. So I'm curious, how did those ideas guide what you do?
They guide what I do because, again, I focus on groups. But my work, although I only have published one ethnographic book, I have lots to do. I have lots of catching up. It's different from Gary Allan Fine's work in many ways. For example, my own work is, at least my book, Dangerous Fun, is much more inspired by Randall Collins than I would say some of the work by Gary Allan Fine. And it's what John Wynne would call character-focused research. And instead, if you look at Gary Allan Fine's books, the ethnographic books, which I know fairly well, even though there are so many, so yeah. You know, you may catch me off guard, but I think I know a fair amount, are driven by a question, not necessarily a theory that goes from chapter one to the last chapter, as some ethnographies are, as my book kind of tries to do. I hope I'm developing a theory throughout each chapter. And I tell stories that link up to one another. And at the end of the book, you're brought back to the very beginning. Even the sequence of photographs that I took I put a lot of thought into how they will play out in the book. So my work is different, yet it has influenced me a lot. For example, it has influenced me to think about groups as having a past, a present, and a prospective future, which is different than, for example, the work by Erving Goffman. Erving Goffman does not focus so much on groups as on interactants. And it seems that if the social order is continuously recreated in situ, but this is not true. I mean, this is true for experimental groups, in a sense. And that's one critique of experimental groups for doing ethnography, for studying groups that have this kind of temporal dimension. And if you stay a long time in the field, then you see things change. A wonderful example of what I'm talking about is Joe Yang Lee's book, Blowing Up, Rap Dreams in South Central LA. And then you will see the difference between part one and part two. Part one was his first idea that this book was going to be about a community center, and that's what he studies. And he finds kids finding shelter from gangs in this place where they learn how to get along and learn a craft and have a good time. And then at one point, they realize that they're getting good enough that maybe they might try to blow up. And that is simply make a living to do what they love. And that's chapter two. So you have this longitudinal perspective that informs, ethnography, but an ethnography that is based on groups.
So how did that play out in your book, that approach?
Well, I follow the same people over, a long amount of time. And I started the book in 2007 when I was a PhD student at UH Manoa. I was there for a few months, and then I transferred to Uppsala University in Sweden, and I kept coming back almost every winter for 3 months. And then I saw people change to some extent. And then I was also, almost in a GERD sense, I would say so actually, I experienced a fateful moment, something strange, unique, something unexpected happening in the field. And I was at the right time, in the right place. And I decided to run with the villagers and therefore be accepted to some extent and get deeper into the life of the people that I was already studying, but they kept me at bay. So that was a particular year because it was El Nino year. Waves were gigantic, and the problem was, is it going to be too big? Is it going to be too windy? But it was always big for 3 months. And that's, even for Hawaii, that's very unusual. The last El Nino year might have been, 4, 5, 6 years before.
Yeah. So thinking about your approach to ethnography and then returning to just this question of how prolific Gary Allen Fine has been, how is he able to not only write so much, but write so much based on these studies of groups, right? And often ethnographic based studies of groups. Just thinking about, you were saying you started your ethnography of surfing in 2007, right? So that's long, long commitments to being in the field. What is his approach to doing this?
Well, I think that there are at least two different approaches to doing ethnography. Approach number one is start with the problem at your door. And one of the best example I can think of is David Snow and Leon Anderson's book, Down on Their Luck, A Study of Homeless Street People. Well, all of a sudden, one of the authors sees the highway that is traveling from Texas to California change. And this is a new wave of homelessness in the 80s, I believe. Gary instead starts with a question, and then he looks for a suitable case. So let me give you an example. And this example connects to his book, Authors of the Storm, Meteorologists, and the Culture of Prediction. Gary is not necessarily interested in this particularly esoteric yet important, interesting subculture. What he's interested in, his first question, is interested in the way that various groups can talk about the future. And many groups can do this. Medicine is all about prognosis. Political polls are about understanding future work. So his preliminary questions are, where could I look for a domain in which prediction is taken as central? Where people will be talking about prediction? What could be a relevant site? and which could be a site that I can have access to within, you know, maybe not too far from where I live, which also allows him maybe to observe once a week. I have to travel 23 hours to go back to the field. And that's a conscious choice. I want to do that, you know. And also my work is more, well, let's talk about his work. His ethnography is if you think about the book by Van Manen, Tales of the Field, Gary Allan Fine's work is certainly realist in the sense that he wants to know as much as possible, and he claims what he knows with authority. But he's not particularly emotionally committed to the groups he's studying. His approach is very much detached. I will advise your students or anybody listening to this podcast to read an article titled Stranger and Stranger by Gary Allan Fine and Tim Hallett. And that's about brokerage, a position of getting close to those you're studying, but not too close, being skeptical, and also brokering information from the community of scholars and those who are teaching you something, having somewhat of a Zimmerian position of the stranger, which allows you to see things. And then also, let me tell you this. You see, I wouldn't say proficient, but to some extent, minimally proficient with big wave surfing. And then, of course, we can argue about how proficient is proficient, how much is enough. Right, we could have a whole discussion about this. And I know about your study too, so that would be fantastic. But I put in my time. I learned what these people were doing to some extent. I did things I did not want to do. That's not Gary's approach. If you look at one of his books titled, the one about chess, titled Players and Pawns, which really is about the culture of chess, he can play chess, but he's interested in anything but the board, what's happening around the board, the sociology, that is. So I think that having this kind of distance to his topics and being committed to sociology, while also acknowledging and learning from multiple disciplines, which I urge all of your listeners to do. And that I think that I'm reading now some work by Howard Becker. Howard Becker will say the same. And that's beautiful. You can just, you know, sometimes the good question is going to come from reading an old issue of the Esquire or the New Yorker, something that kind of tilts your position a little bit and allows you to see things in a different way. And Gary has that kind of approach. He's quite open, but he's very methodic and very, you know, you don't often find groups you love, you know. He doesn't study groups he loves. And even if you love the groups you're studying, at one point you might regret having done the study or having that deep, which I guess is part of the story.
So this might be a difficult question, but one of the things I appreciate about your work and Gary's work, which you brought up, was that there's an understanding that focusing on the fun and pleasurable is not naive and actually a key part of understanding the social world. And I'm also it's interesting in a way the manner that you talk about theory also shows a joyous engagement with where theory brings us and what theory allows us to see, rather than an approach that is more antagonistic, where you claim a certain theoretical lens and then say, well, those other theorists who do things differently, they're doing it wrong or they're lacking in understanding and this is the correct approach. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but just hearing you talk about people ranging from Goffman to Fine to Randall Collins to Zimmel, the way you're approaching it, saying each of them allows us to ask certain questions and try to answer them in different ways. But you're not saying that the others are wrong or missing out. You're saying each one can give us an exciting path forward. Is that correct way of reading what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Now, and of course, you go into the field if you're doing field work, but you may do other kinds of studies, of course. And hopefully you will have what Malinowski calls foreshadow problems, some kind of questions that will guide you as a map. And they may prove to be, you know, irrelevant to the group you're studying, or you may not even find data about what you're looking, but you got to be able, as a craftsman, And that's the spontaneity of much of qualitative work, of really change direction, maybe find a different theory, which also keeps it exciting for you because then you get to learn something else. Maybe you get to engage with another person who knows the theories you need. So yeah, it's about being open. And also if a theory doesn't help you explain something in a new way, and I love this wave, this word, if something is not, and it's a high bar, it's a very high bar, I would say. If some pieces of sociology or social sciences do not have a counterintuitive element, then, you know, they find out what they already want to find out. And maybe their writing is terrible.
Yeah. Or so, maybe it means you're too attached to a theory and you're forcing the observations to fit the theory that you go into, which we know happens.
And it happens to all of us to some extent, absolutely. But there needs to be a joyous element of discovery. Because otherwise, why would we be doing it? I mean, this takes a lot of work. I mean, you might look at my study and say, oh, he went to Hawaii several times. He had a lot of fun. I had a lot of excitement, a lot of fun, lots of stories. But it was very difficult. It was very difficult. But also very exciting, in a sense. I mean, it's even exciting at the desk. Certainly more painful than getting hurt surfing big waves, I would say. And I know you're quite athletic and you can probably...
Yeah, I don't know. That's the other thing about an ethnographer. You have an arc of what type of ethnography you can do based on where you are in your...
Exactly. How many things can you become an expert of? And that's a distinction between having a transactional knowledge, what the sociology of science, Harry Collins talks about when he studied physicists. He wants to talk to them on the same level. But how many things can you get to that point? You know, not that many. Of course, if you have lots of time, like I did for my book, then you get much more personal. So you get a different kind of story, different kind of ethnography. My book, with all of its flaws, so far, people have picked up on the fact that I try to address different readership. I try to go to the sociologist, maybe even other scholars, and even the regular public. And Gary's work is wonderful, beautifully written, but he's not Matt Desmond.
No, yeah.
You know, he knows that. He doesn't want to be Matt Desmond. But I think that it's good to be exposed to different styles. So at one point in your career, you can choose. I think I like to get better at that, maybe for this period of my life. And for me, it was getting very close to the people I was writing about and also learn how to write in a way that it's probably more evocative than, you know, if I may compare myself to Fine's work.
I think that transitions well to the final question I had, which is in some ways my favorite question, which is reflecting on your research, reflecting on your engagement with the abundance of Gary's writing, thinking about his approach to studying the group versus other theorists or scholars. What would you say are the main advantages of engaging with Gary Allen Fine's writing? Why is this someone who's, whether they're an undergraduate or a grad student or already teaching at having a tenure track job and moving on to the next areas of the research, why is Gary's work something that we should take the time to read?
I think that there are trends and there is style. There are fads and there are classics. Hannah Walls has written a book called Bound by Creativity. And in that book, she defines a creative vision, and I'm quoting her, as a bundle of recognizable and enduring elements within artist's body of work. If you look at Gary's career, he's been interested in three elements that are foundational for our discipline. And those are culture, structure, and interaction. I wouldn't be surprised if in a few years, someone will write a book titled Becoming Fine or Getting Fine. And that is somewhat of a play on another book already written, which is becoming Mead by Daniel R. Huebner. Gary's work is foundational for our discipline. So it will stay, it will endure. And I would suggest listeners to start with one of his latest books, which I read the preprint, which is called Group Life. The original title was, I think, For a Local Sociology. And that is a way in which Gary with Tim Hallett teamed up to explain how groups are a way to understand much bigger issues like power, collaboration, conflict, using their own respective ethnographies, and also providing the reader with a way to understand how the groups are observable social reality that are everywhere, and they're easily accessible. And it also points to the fact that to do these kind of studies, you don't need much money. You don't need huge grants. You need a very good idea, or a potentially good idea. And those ideas come from spending lots of time reading, lots of time talking, lots of time engaging with things you want to get better and figure out. And I think this is like Zimmel, like Goffman, like Randall Collins. These are the core of our discipline. So, group life, you won't go wrong.
Perfect. I think that's a wonderful place to end. So thank you again for joining. Thank you for taking the time to talk about Gary's work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciation goes to Jeffrey Gilbert for providing theme music, SUNY Brockport for providing financial support, and most importantly, on behalf of me, Kyle Green, thank you for giving theory a chance.